Hello, and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. Today we have an interview with Sharon Stewart, the founder of Paws Pet Therapy, a charitable organisation that trains volunteers and their dogs to provide specialised pet therapy. I will talk to her about how dogs, with their owners, can help make a difference to people who have a disability, are sick, lonely, dying, or have mental health issues. So, Sharon, can you tell us a bit about what Paws does and how it can help people?
Yeah, sure can. So, basically, Paws Pet Therapy trains teams. So that's the volunteer with their own dog. And they come to us and we have a chat about their dog's capabilities, their personality, make sure that they love people. Then the volunteer does a course with us, which it talks all about the best practices of pet therapy, how to do it safely, why we do it at all, and understanding people's special needs. So once they've passed their training and assessment day, they go off together and they visit people in hospitals or, you know, aged care, palliative care, rehab, mental health, everywhere. We have about 45 facilities that we visit at the moment.
So can it help people socially and physically?
Yes, it can. So depending on where we're going, it might be in a hospital, you know, for example, in the rehab ward where we go regularly, where we're involved in the program that the rehab is offering their clients, working with the OTs and the physios. And instead of, you know, that person doing 10 exercises, they're actually reaching out, putting the dog's halter on, putting the collar on, doing up clips, giving them a drink of water, all those things which make it so much easier for them to use those muscles that they've lost use of. And then everything right through to just lovely quiet time with people in palliative care, people that are in the last stages and sitting there, laying there, and their families are sitting with them. And we just sit with them and they just, you know, pat the dog and cuddle the dog. And so we do a bit of everything. Yeah, the dogs just fit in wherever we go. We make sure that we're doing the right thing for the clients that we have.
So it sounds like you came from a hospital environment at first, did you? You were a nurse, is that right?
Yeah, I was a registered nurse for about 30 years, mainly working with people with disability and aged care and a little bit of mental health. So I was very, very lucky to be able to put that together with my love of animals in 2012 and get Paws started. It was something, you know, I did have and still have a passion about, and I feel like I'm doing just as good now as I was when I was nursing, which is lovely. And it's much more enjoyable working with your best friend every day too.
So most people in Australia have pets. I think it's about 60% of families have pets. What was your first pet? Was your first pet a dog?
Yes, my first pet probably was a little bitzer called Peppy. I still remember that he just followed me everywhere. You know, in those days, I don't remember ever having a dog behind fences or anything like that. It was just wherever I was, feeding the horses, doing whatever. Peppy was by my side, and I don't think I've ever been without a dog since. Well, I mean, I haven't. And always had horses and also had a menagerie of other animals as well through the years. Yeah, horse animals have always been a huge part of my life, which is lovely.
So do you think horses can be useful for helping people as well?
They certainly can. Horses are used, equine therapy is used a lot more now. In Australia, we're starting to use it more and more. A little bit different to pet therapy, working with dogs. They both have their benefits and they both release people's happy hormones, if you like, and they just the act of patting an animal actually makes people feel better. They can help you reduce pain and lower blood pressure and lower anxiety and anger. Horses then sort of build on that, the physical and mental exercises that go with working with a horse. They're naturally a really big, strong animal. So what we do, it decides how they're going to react with us. They're a herd animal, so we have to do the right things to earn their trust and to earn, you know, to be part of their herd. And so there's a lot of opportunities there for people that are, you know, fearful of horses and to increase their confidence. So that's the main difference, I think, is that, you know, the horses are big, strong animals and we have to develop that trust. And as soon as someone develops that trust with an animal like that, you know, their self-esteem is increased and they feel better about themselves. The bottom line, I think, with horses and what I've learnt over the years is that most of what we do affects how our horse behaves. Whereas a dog will just love you anyway. You make them, you can make 1,000 mistakes. The dog will just come up and say, "I love you anyway." Whereas a horse, you need to do the right things, or it will respond accordingly.
So it's unconditional love, I suppose, with a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The dogs don't care, you know, who you are, what you're doing, what mistakes you've made. They're just going to love you anyway.
So what kind of dogs are involved with this therapy?
Well, we've got all sorts of dogs. We've got everything from Chihuahuas through to our biggest girl is Molly. She's a Newfoundland. So we've got everything in between. We've got dogs that... We've got one dog who's a truffle dog. That's his full-time job, and he just does our visits on the side.
What's a truffle dog?
Kelpies. Yeah, we've got an SES dog, a dog that, you know, helps going out and finding people in the bush. And it doesn't matter what breed or what size or shape they are. It's just, you know, they all bring their own very special qualities to the visits and all offer something, you know, really special.
So it sounds like their dog needs quite a lot of training, depending on what area it's going into. Training of the volunteer as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do tend to focus more on training the volunteers. Mm-hmm. The dogs can do what they do. That's natural for them. Of course, we need, you know, a basic level of obedience. The dog needs to show us that it will engage with people, that it's happy to be with people. It's going to do things safely. But the bottom line is we train the volunteers. So the volunteers understand why we're doing it in the first place, how it will help people, and how to do it safely. And understanding that day to a children's ward will be very different to one that you might do next week to a palliative care unit, for example. You know, all about understanding our clients and making sure that we're offering the very best service and doing it safely.
Can you think of any patients that have benefited a lot, that's got confidence or has been very ill? And
yeah, we've got lots and lots of stories, but the bottom line is I think one of our biggest ones as far as dementia goes is one of our dogs, Max, that we had. He's not with us any longer, but he was regularly visiting a dementia unit, a secure dementia unit, and in this unit that people rarely spoke. And one lady she obviously loved the visits every week and would have a lovely pad of Max. And then one day, just out of the blue, she looked at the volunteer and said, "I love Max." So the volunteer rang me afterwards in tears. I thought, oh no, what's happened? And it was just because she was so emotional, and she said that the staff there had all said, we didn't even know that this lady still had speech skills. And that's all she said. Looked at Karen and said, "I love Max." I've had one gentleman wait, you know, he was in palliative care, and he told his family in the morning that he'd had enough and he was ready to go, but he then realised it was Wednesday and that's the day my dog goes in to the hospital. And he actually waited to say goodbye. So, I mean, that shows the depth of, you know, effect that these dogs have on their clients. A lovely thing I see all the time is often during holidays, the children of families are going into the palliative care unit to visit granddad or grandma or whoever it may be. I often take it upon myself just to sort of say, would you like to come with Hudson and go for a little walk around? So you've got these kids come walking with me through the ward and they're holding the dog and showing him around and giving him a drink of water, and it's a nice distraction for them. We've got lots and lots of really lovely stories that come out of what we do, and the volunteers, I'm very lucky that the volunteers actually tell me their stories all the time. Fill in paperwork as well, so I'm always getting their stories and all these lovely things that happen, so it's really good.
So it sounds like volunteers benefit as well.
They do. They definitely do. They get a lot out of it, you know. I often hear from the volunteers, and one lady just rang me probably 2 weeks ago, and she said, you know what, I was just walking home from the nursing home, and she said, I just stopped and thought, I absolutely love this. So I think that's the bottom line. And then people will email me after a visit just because they need to say out loud what has just happened, what they've just experienced in the ward. You know, it's making someone happy. I mean, at the end of the day, you can look at all the health benefits and you can analyse it, but at the end of the day, it's our volunteers and their dogs are making people happy. People that are very unwell or very worried about a loved one or in a situation not very good for them at the time, and in walks a dog, a happy, loving, smiling dog, and, you know, they're just making a huge difference, and the volunteers know that. And we have a very social organisation where the volunteers are supported, and we often have a lot of social events for them and up training and things like that. So we have nice newsletters and things. So it just makes the volunteers feel really like they're doing something very, very special with their lives, whether they're working full-time as well or whether they're retired. It doesn't matter. That special time out there with their dog is what they love every week.
So if somebody would like to get involved with you and Paws Pet Therapy, I believe this phone number is the right one. Is it the mobile number that you'd want to give out?
It could be 0418 869 181.
So that's 0418 869 181, and your website is pawspettherapy.com?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And there's some nice pictures on there and some lots of information about what we do. We always need more volunteers. We have a lot of facilities on our waiting list at the moment. We can't keep up with the demand. So if people are interested in just giving us a call just to even have a chat about what we do, that's fine. We always talk to our volunteers first. We don't just send out information. So it's always nice to hear from anyone that's interested in becoming part of our team.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. It was wonderful to speak to you today about Paws and Paws Pet Therapy.
Thank you, Elaine. Much appreciated.
You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer. And I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.